across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
With a very busy hour ahead of us on this March 19th, 2024. Nice to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be talking to a couple of friends of the program here, and I'm hoping I've staggered them properly, but we may be doing some short visits with both Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg and also our friend Dana Walks, the former assembly rep, the now former University of Wisconsin regent, caught up in the Republican temper tantrum to fire a whole bunch of Governor Tony Evers appointees, and that included Dana Walks from the Board of Regents. We'll talk a bit about the political climate with Dana. We'll talk about Wausau issues with Mayor Katie Rosenberg. And then, since it's Tuesday, we'll also talk with Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau later in the hour about some of the issues going on there. I've got to do a little cleanup first before Brittany Merlot joins us with the forecast here. We were talking about Glenn Close, it being her birthday today. The movie title that I could not come up with at the moment there was Fatal Attraction.
Oh,
with Michael Douglas.
Sorry, I just wanted to say the line. I won't be ignored, so, Dan.
Yes, yes. And Red Nose Day was something that was kind of started by the Comic Relief Group, an annual campaign that raises money to end child poverty and to give children safe, healthy, educated, and empowered environments all across the U.S. and around the world. So when you buy a little red nose, which can make kids laugh, you're also supporting the programs that help out these kids. Rob up in Tigerton tells us that it is partly cloudy, 30 degrees there. And he says, I got to get my outdoors work done by Thursday. We'll ask Brittany why that is in a moment. And he also adds, I really love your show. It's educational and love bringing back music memories, fans, and fun. Well, thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. As we hit show number 300 since we've been doing this thing. And at some point, I'm hoping we're going to have 300 listeners. We get that. That'll be a banner day. Brittany Merlot, I think, is number 299. So we're looking for somebody just to come up to the show as well. Brittany, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Well, pretty good, but yeah, it's a little chilly out there. We've talked about that the past couple of days, and that we're not completely done with winter yet as we look toward the end of the week, right?
No, we are not. So we've got a little bit of a roller coaster going on here. If you've heard your walls kind of creaking, or if you went outside earlier this morning, you know that those winds are whipping once again up to 30 to 35 miles per hour, especially in towards the lake, Milwaukee, Green Bay. You're feeling some of those stronger gusts into Door County as well. But statewide, we'll feel gusts up to 25 miles per hour today. It's out of the southwest right now, which is going to give us a little milder temperatures, where we will climb into those low 40s to low 50s across the state. But the winds shift as soon as this afternoon. They'll be pulling out of the north. They're going to drag us much colder again. We will see sunshine tomorrow, sunshine Thursday, all calm ahead of the storm, which everything will change Thursday night and into Friday. Expect your Friday morning commute to be a rough one statewide. We are looking at accumulating snowfall. Everyone will probably see 2 to 5 inches. And of course, we're still tracking who could potentially see some double-digit accumulations our way.
What? Double-digit accumulations?
Double digits, yes. There's a track of about 6 to 10 inches that is shifting anywhere between, well, I think La Crosse is definitely going to see that, but it depends if it's going to hit Madison, Milwaukee area, or if it wants to go a little bit north towards Wisconsin Rapids and Green Bay.
You got to use the word, though. It depends on where the wobble is.
Yeah, it's always wobbling.
To the north or to the south here.
I got a warning on my phone saying it's going to be windy. I don't know who Gail is, but it's going to be windy apparently.
Oh, yeah, she lives on the lake. Gail.
Gail does? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Gail Force winds.
always blowing over my trash cans, that Gail.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. All right, time to tell you about a brand new contest that's being started here on Civic Media. Again, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Up North News, owned by Courier Newsroom, but we are so happy to be partners with Civic Media for this daily radio show and to tell you what else is happening on Civic Media. And that includes their brand new Ride Into Spring Text to Win contest. Oh, I like this. Which one is this?
This is the $25,000 pyramid, which, fun fact, the $25,000 pyramid has been adjusted to meet inflation more than the minimum wage in this country.
That's a very good point.
You're welcome.
Here's the deal. There's going to be four daily winners because four different times during the day this contest is going to be run. And so there will be four daily winners, and the daily winner wins an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then all the entrants, everybody who enters, including the daily winners, you're entered to win one of the grand prizes that include brand new bicycles, you know, the Ride Into Spring contest. There's a very high-end blender here. There's an outdoor patio love seat. I'm glad we're doing the game show music because it's got a whole bunch of game show prizes here. It's like a showcase showdown. Here's how it's going to work. During the first part of the hour here at 7 a.m., and then again at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m., we're going to give you a keyword. Because I think Say the Secret Word is probably still trademarked by Groucho Marx. But we're going to give you a keyword. And what you got to do is go into the Civic Media app, and where it gives you the option to text one of the stations, you text that keyword. So go into the Civic Media app, pull up any of the stations that we're on. Pull up your hometown station. It might be 93.5, the Tap in Chippewa Falls. It might be Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. It can be whichever, you know, whichever one you'll find one of our shows on. Use the text button and simply text this hour's keyword, spring. Spring as in, you know, Ride Into Spring, the name of the contest. Now, that's all you do. You use the app, you text spring into the radio station, and you are automatically entered into the contest. And then one text is pulled randomly for this hour, and then all the other times during the day, and you get that overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. So download the app, go to one of the radio stations, and text spring. And that'll get you entered. Different word every hour, different word every day. So this is the one time that we're using the word spring to text. I don't think I could make it any more clear than that. So there you are.
What are those times again, Pat?
You can do this contest several times a day at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. on all Civic Media talk and music stations. So there you go.
Thanks, Pat. Right. Thanks for giving all the details.
I already see one of the hazards of this because when we get notifications of text messages, I've got it set for a little audio alert too, so I get a little ding in my ear, and I currently feel like I should be checked into a clinic someplace for all the dinging that's going on back here right now. So I'm clearly one occupational hazard I didn't think to address before getting involved in all of this. But again, there it is. Our Ride Into Spring Text to Win contest. We'll do this again with a new keyword tomorrow morning and again throughout the day here, 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., all across Civic Media. All right, I mentioned a couple of special guests here, and it looks like we'll be sliding them both down a little bit later on in the hour here, both Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg and Dana Walks, former UW Regent, former State Assembly Rep, is going to be talking about, you know, his future plans now that Republicans have fired him and others from some key points in the Governor Evers administration. By the way, not for any kind of cause whatsoever, other than, you know, again, just blatant partisanship. There's a new over-the-counter birth control pill that does not require a prescription, and Medicaid recipients in Wisconsin are going to have access to it starting today, allowing them to easily receive contraceptive medication with no out-of-pocket costs and no doctor's prescription. Governor Tony Evers promised in his State of the State speech in January that the pill, called O-Pill, would be available to people in the state's Medicaid program, otherwise known as Badger Care Plus. It will start becoming available in some Medicaid-enrolled pharmacies starting today and expand over the coming week. The governor said it was more important than ever to ensure access to the drug, quote, as we see continued attacks on women's reproductive freedoms here in Wisconsin and across the country. Badger Care Plus currently covers over-the-counter daily oral contraception with a prescription from a provider, but a new standing order from Evers will allow this new pill, O-pill, to be available without a prescription and without any out-of-pocket costs. So a very significant change there for people who want to, you know, plan out their families accordingly. There's an article in yesterday's New York Times that caught my attention that I would bring your attention to as well. As we wait for the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh a case, I think next week, on medication abortion. And again, that's the case involving mifepristone, which is, again, the abortion medication is not the same as oral contraceptives, despite what some people without a science background would have you think. Regardless, it's all about how this current court interprets the Constitution. How do they interpret the law? And we've heard a lot about how conservative justices consider themselves to be originalists. They want to look at what did the founding fathers mean, which has always struck me as odd because the founding fathers would pass out at what we have nowadays. There were no airplanes back then. You know, women could not vote or hold jobs. We still had slavery back in that day. So to try to just base your reading of the law on a late 1700s mindset, to me, has always been mind-boggling. And now retired Justice Stephen Breyer has a new book that's coming out. It's coming out next week. On the same day, the Supreme Court hears the arguments in that abortion medication case. And he really feels, he says, like something's going on, that the court has taken a wrong turn in relying too much on originalism. And he focuses a lot of it on the Dobbs decision, the case that wiped away women's abortion rights, the protections that they enjoyed under Roe v. Wade. Breyer dissented in that opinion, and he said the decision was stunningly naive in saying that it was returning the question of abortion to the political process. He said everybody knows the courts will continue to have to decide the abortion question and should weigh it that way. So look for that book to come out and look for plenty of reaction, right and left, because the Supreme Court, less trusted than ever before, more politicized than ever, and retired Justice Breyer might have a few words to say about that in his new book. More coming up after this. You're up north.
What's happened to me since I met you?
Again, it was on this day in 1974 that the members of Jefferson Airplane got back together and renamed the band Jefferson Starship. In sports, the Milwaukee Brewers season opener is just 9 days away now, and their home opener is 2 weeks from today, at home at American Family Field, taking on the Minnesota Twins. But you can still hear spring training games here on one of our civic media stations, WRCE, in Richland Center. This Friday at 3 o'clock, you can hear the Brewers taking on the Kansas City Royals in Cactus League action. The Milwaukee Bucks will next be in action tomorrow night against the Boston Celtics in Boston. You can catch that game tomorrow night on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls, and locally grown radio, WFHR, in Wisconsin Rapids. The NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament, well, the play-in games are coming up here, but the games that matter for those of us in Wisconsin, Marquette and the Wisconsin Badgers, both of those games are Friday. Marquette is a number 2 seed. They will play Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock, against Western Kentucky. And the Badgers, a 5 seed, will take on 12 seed James Madison at 8:40 Friday night. And that game will be in New York City. And you'll be able to hear that game on several Civic Media radio stations that we'll tell you a bit about as the days get a little bit closer to that game as well. In the Up North News Daily Newsletter, and you can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com, an interesting story here from Christina Laurie, all about Women's History Month, celebrating Wisconsin women past and present. And there's a fascinating story here about a woman named Doris Tom. Her dad had worked on the Chicago Northwestern Railroad and died in a work-related accident. And Doris's mother insisted that the company must pay to support the family, which was rather unheard of at the time, apparently. But all the railroads would do for a worker who died was give the family a free railroad pass. That wasn't enough. So inspired by what her mom had done to win compensation, Doris would later join a labor union as an adult, becoming the first woman elected as a secretary and the first woman on a union executive board. She was working at the General Motors Fisher Body Plant in Janesville. She wasn't allowed to transfer from the all-female cushion department to a job in the higher-paying all-male trim department. She filed a complaint, and soon all of the jobs in the plant were open to women. She also became the first female committee member in United Auto Workers Local 95. A little bit more about her in today's newsletter. You'll want to sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. It's also got the story, if you hadn't heard it earlier, about the Elkhorn School District and book banning, and how, based on one complaint from a parent who challenged 444 books, after administrators spent months looking through all of the texts, they came to a conclusion that all of the targeted books will remain on the shelves, at least at some of the Elkhorn schools. And we've got a link to the full story there in our newsletter. So again, you can sign up for that letter at upnorthnewswi.com. I was waiting to see. I see that we're going to have both Dana Walks and Katie Rosenberg joining us, and I think I've got to go fix the code that I gave Dana so that he can come join us a little earlier, a little bit ahead of time here. So we're going to talk a bit with him about what has happened in the legislature in the closing days of it when they decided to fire more appointees. And we'll also plan to talk to Katie Rosenberg as well and find out what's happening in the city of Wausau. She is standing for re-election 2 weeks from today. But Dana Walks joins us now from Eau Claire. I used to call him Representative Walks, and you know, then I had to call him Regent, which he thought meant Regency is in Your Highness, like he was a king or something. And now he's just plain old Dana, which is, you know, just how I love him, because he's an old friend. Dana Walks, how are you?
Well, they usually call me overweight. So I'm good. How are you, Pat?
I'm pretty good. I don't know if Greg's going to be able to do this, but I had special music picked out for you at 7:30 before I realized, you know, who was coming on when, that I probably made a mistake there. Greg, do you have the 7:30 bumper music handy there for Mr. Walks?
I do.
Oh, okay. Here, now we'll explain why I picked this especially for Dana.
Come ride the little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction. Forget about your cares, it is
this
time
is
to
back
relax
some memories
at the junction.
Lots
of curves, you bet.
Oh, they're drying dresses.
When you get yes.
To the junction.
Do you want to tell the story or should
I? Yeah, I'm going to tell the story. So years back, I was helping Dana with his gubernatorial campaign. This would have been 2017, early 2018. And you have to go all over God's green earth when you're running for office for Congress, for governor, as you well know, Dana. And one of our favorite stories was the time where God bless Quick Trip. We had to stop in many Quick Trips, sometimes for cookies, but oftentimes for restrooms that became changing rooms, because sometimes you'd be in one outfit, but then you'd have to put on a suit to go to like a dinner or something. And I just noticed one day it was like we both had our outfits draped over the doors of the stalls. And I said it looked just like Petticoat Junction with all the little petticoats draped over the water tank. And only Dana and I are of a certain age and a certain ilk that would enjoy a Petticoat Junction reference to running for governor. But I would, it's a fair question to say you miss those days, but you don't miss those days traveling all over the state.
I thought traveling all over the state was wonderful in the sense that we met all sorts of beautiful, wonderful people and had some bizarre experiences, just bizarre. But I enjoyed it very much. I love this people in the state of Wisconsin and thought the world of that experience. And it makes you a better person when you realize the people that are walking in their mocks, what's going on in with the lives of the people. And it's, you know, I loved doing that work. I really did.
It was a lot of fun. And then sometime after Tony Evers was elected governor, he appointed you to the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. And now recently, Republicans continue their push to fire appointees, and you and fellow Regent John Miller got caught up in that. And again, we've talked about this at length, how petty and childish it is. But now that you've had some time to absorb it, is there still anything other than petty politics that explains why they did this to you and so many other appointees?
Well, this whole experience makes you understand why Ernest T. Bass in the Andy and Mayberry show used to throw stones at everybody, because it's been a very, since we're going back in television history here, it was very frustrating. I believe 21 people that he's appointed have been not confirmed by the Republicans in the state Senate. And it's you know, these guys are poster children for dysfunctional government. They truly are. It's just awful.
Oh, and that's what led to the new maps, and it's what led to, you know, people making decisions on, you know, whether to run or not run in this district or that district. We're up against a break here, but when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dana Walks as far as his own political future and really what the political environment is like around Wisconsin in 2024. More after this. You're up north.
This has been a Filmways presentation.
We're back on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Nice to have you along. Dana Walks, former Assembly Rep, former UW Board of Regent member, is here. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg is here as well and is standing by. Dana, before we pivot over to Katie here, we were talking before about, you know, the Republican monkey business of, you know, firing people. One of them, Brad Paff, basically turned around and ran for a seat in the state Senate, and now he serves right alongside them and is doing his part to kind of make their lives miserable, and God bless him for it. You've certainly been asked the same thing. If you'd consider, you know, running it for your old seat in state assembly or one of the other seats, Jody Emerson is representing one of the Eau Claire seats right now, but those district lines have moved. Has that given you an opportunity to consider something, and what are you thinking about doing?
Well, it turns out I'm about six blocks into the 93rd Assembly District, which is Warren Petrick's district. So for the last 10 days, I've been talking to family and law partners, and we've been very, very seriously looking at my running to get down to Madison, because these people need some adult conduct training down there, and that's what we were fixing to do. But you know, my family, we, you know, the way we look at things, it's faith, family, clients, and community. And I have six jury trials between now and January. And, you know, some of these clients have been waiting for years and years for their time for their day in court. And some of these cases are complex products liability cases and medical negligence cases. And we haven't found a way for me to run. My partners and I have worked together, but there are schedule difficulties between the federal courts and the state courts. in a way that we just can't do it. So as much as I'd like to, and I really, really wanted to, we are not going to be able to turn me loose to run for the legislature again. And I just so much wanted to.
Well, I would say, though, that as somebody who is obviously putting his clients first, and that's completely the right thing to do, while you can't invest the time to necessarily run for a seat in the legislature, somehow I don't think you're going to be quiet. I don't think you'll first off, I don't think you have the ability. But second, I think you're too talented to want to stay quiet and speak out about, you know, what you think voters should keep in mind in all of these new legislative districts. What is it that you think they can best do in 2024 to turn things around in Madison?
Well, I think we need to have the majority, at least in one of the houses. And I'm confident that we're within shot of getting the majority in the assembly. I think people got to take a look back what the Republicans have brought this state so far. I mean, it's dysfunctional. It's tribal battling like we've never seen before. And I've been involved in this political stuff. My mother made me lick stamps for Hubert Humphrey when I was 10. And I've really been involved ever since. I worked for Ted Kennedy at one point. I've worked for State Senator Paul Offner from La Crosse at one point when I was a kid. And I've never not been involved. But this is the year, and that's one of the reasons we look so hard at this, because this is the year we can maybe get the majority in the state legislature. And so I'll be heavily involved in that process. I'm also involved with Katrina Shanklin's campaign. She's running for Congress. She's an old friend of ours as well. And she's actually a young friend of ours, which...
Very good. Very good. That was a great recovery on your part.
I won't tell her.
And of course, Tammy Baldwin running for another term. I'm sure we'll be seeing her and then the Biden campaign. So, all right, no doubt then I've got all the more reason to bring you back here. And without, you know, being a candidate, I won't have to worry about some handler giving you the hook, you know, when I ask an awkward question. Oh, wait, is Beverly standing back there at all?
No.
Artie,
the black lab is back there someplace.
Artie, the hook. That's his.
He would completely do that. Data Walks, thank you. Again, it's unfortunate that we can't see you as a candidate, but always an advocate for your clients, your former constituents, and for the whole state. We appreciate it so much, Dana. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Right. Have yourself a great day.
You too.
Let's pivot now to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. And so nice to have you here as well, Katie.
Hello. I'm sad to hear that I have to mothball my blaze orange Dana Walks shirt, but I guess that's what we're doing.
You know what? there will always be a time and a place when when things are right. So, you know, never say never. What do I always say now? There is no 5-year plan. You never know. Oh, you never know
it's
what's
true.
Coming up next
you
year.
Don't.
Right. Yeah. So then you are in the throes of a campaign that's entering its final couple of weeks.
2 weeks. And, let's go.
I know. So in doing so, I wanted to hit on, you know, just some of the issues that the rest of us around the state would be looking at. And I know that for all of the, you know how when you run for office, you think you have one set of priorities, but then life hands you another set of priorities. Uh-huh. That really does describe you with water, doesn't
it? Oh yeah, water. I mean, I always cared about it, but mm-hmm. I didn't know what PFAS were. Mm-hmm. I thought we were done with lead. You know, that's where we're at though, that we're still fixing these issues.
Right. And so you have been working on getting all manner of outside funding in to take care of this proven health hazard and to not let something drag on the way, say, removing lead pipes has dragged on. But in doing so, obviously, that still incurs a cost. And that cost has, I guess, become an issue. So when you're, you know, talking to folks at events or doors or wherever, and they bring up the cost of doing the right thing with water, tell folks how you're trying to balance both ends of that equation.
Yeah. So first of all, you know, before I was elected, but thankfully, the city council decided to build a new drinking water treatment facility. So that was planned, that facility, but it's a $44 million project. And so we pay for that with ratepayer dollars. So we knew that those rates were going up. What we didn't know was that we would find PFAS and we would have to add $17.5 million to that cost. And then we had a 15-year plan to remediate the remaining 8,000 lead service lines in our city. Well, the EPA wants to get that done in 10 years. Great. So we came up with a 5-year plan to capitalize on all the bipartisan infrastructure law dollars that we can get. So we got $5.7 million for this year. We hope to replace 550 lines. And I'm super excited. We're using a new type of a model, public-private partnership. So I'm hoping that it's really successful. But we already, I've just heard this morning that we have a partner in Shorewood who now is, they're going to do the same way we are. So we are going to be doing this together. And I think we're going to be removing a lot more lead than anyone expected this year.
You know, it reminds me that I don't believe it was in the last budget cycle, but the one before that, when the whole notion of providing more state funding for lead pipe removal came up. And it was either Assembly Speaker Robin Voss or another high-ranking Republican that said in so many words, well, that's just a Milwaukee problem anyway. And so they cut out the funding. And more than a couple of communities outside of Milwaukee going, no, that's oversimplification and probably something a little bit uglier too. Lead lines are still very much a problem in some Wisconsin cities.
Yeah, I mean, we are 150 years old as a city, so of course our infrastructure is old as well. And also, I take exception with saying that lead is only a problem in Milwaukee. It's a problem in Milwaukee. They have 80,000 lead service lines they need to remediate. And they need to, we all owe it to Milwaukee's children, our future population here, to make sure they're not exposed to these hazards. So I take exception with that. I think that's not the right way to describe how we work together. But luckily, we have the historic bipartisan infrastructure law funding that we can all take advantage of. So I'm excited to get going on this. And obviously, PFAS, I continuously advocate for. I was just in Wisconsin Rapids last night talking about the latest. I'm waiting very impatiently for news about our first settlement in the multi-district litigation. But that would certainly give us flexibility in being able to relook at our rates. You know, we've raised them 60, 65%. So people are feeling that crunch, and that's what I'm hearing on doors when I'm knocking.
So in looking for those other revenue sources that could offset, you know, ratepayers and taxpayers and all of that, it sure seems to me an opportunity to, again, talk about the $125 million that legislative Republicans are sitting on, in part because of a demand on Republicans' part that essentially, you know, the language has changed that really ties the hands of the DNR to engage in any enforcement action against some of the entities that might have been the polluters or the contaminators of the soil. And if you're going to help the ratepayers and the taxpayers, it really doesn't make much sense to go and protect the people who caused the problem in the first place.
Right. So the very first thing I heard when we started talking about remediating the PFAS in Wausau was, well, why are we paying for this? Why are we the citizens of Wausau, the ratepayers of Wausau? Why are we on the hook for this when we clearly didn't create the PFAS? We didn't pollute it. And that is a good question, which is why we engaged in a couple of lawsuits. But, you know, when it comes to state law, of course, we want to hold the manufacturers of these products accountable. If they've spilled it, I think that we want to hold accountable. I do understand there's some concern over if you end up with a parcel of land that's polluted with PFAS, then you become the responsible party. And maybe you didn't know, but I think there's opportunity. I think that's a narrow enough scope that you'd be able to carve that out with policy. You wouldn't have to do broad brush. But right now, what we're doing is just not releasing the funds. I mean, the budget passed in July, so $125 million that no Wisconsin municipalities can access for PFAS remediation is a huge chunk. And session is out, so I guess we're waiting another year.
I guess, unless the Joint Finance Committee, you know, calls itself in, as Governor Evers is asking them to. Right. So those were the things that came up after you became mayor. but in running for mayor, obviously some of the core issues are still out there, especially employment, you know, workforce development, getting a workforce in the first place. You were recently part of a candidate forum with your opponent. And, you know, to me, part of the discussion was, you know, is it about attracting some kind of big business, what I think of as kind of a Foxconn approach to this, or is it more about, you know, developing the workforce and small businesses? What's been your message to voters about, you know, developing a workforce for the Wausau area?
Well, of course, we want more people moving here. That is probably the thing that we need across the Midwest in general. But we need more people living here and moving here, kind of spreading our love around, right? We have businesses. I think there are 10,000 open jobs in the county. So there's plenty of opportunity for folks that want to capitalize. What we do need more of, housing, childcare, those opportunities, because people are getting crunched, especially people, I don't count myself in that group now, but you know, the younger people, the young adults, they are struggling. They're struggling with rents. They're struggling with how to manage their children and their schedules. And that's something where government can step in to help, especially when it comes to childcare expansion, advocating for childcare and also housing, making sure that we're building things that people can actually afford.
And building them, by the way, you know, in a quality manner, because one of the talking points I hear often is about regulation, and we need to get rid of regulation. And I understand getting rid of red tape, but I always worry that the alternative to that is you're ditching the protections, not the regulations, the protections. And what good is building a bunch of affordable housing if it's slipshod? And right. So I guess I'm all the time sounding that alarm about, you know, when people campaign against regulation. And I have a sense that's probably one of the talking points you hear as well.
Oh, yeah. And we heard it in a couple of debates recently, too. So, you know, the regulation that we have, you know, when it comes to affordable housing, you know, we're largely doing a capital stack that includes federal funding. So we do have to follow those regulations, CDBG funding, HUD, all of that. Like, we have to make sure we're following those rules and labor laws, because, you know, we're building our communities and building it as part of it. You know, we've also heard about the questions about childcare and regulations there. There was an audible gasp in the audience last week during one of our forums when somebody mentioned maybe grandmothers should be taking up the brunt of the childcare. And the grandmothers were like, hold up, I don't know about that one. We have lives too. So I've heard a lot about that this weekend.
Ooh, okay. It's probably from the same people that are like, well, if we just make it tougher to retire, then they'll stay in the workforce longer.
And I really, our bodies are wearing out, man. Like, mine already is. How many discs have you ruptured? I got two gone.
Exactly. I got no knees. I can't do this forever. Exactly. Katie Rosenberg, thank you so much. Sorry about the mix-up that we cheated you a couple of minutes there, but it was so nice to catch up with you.
It was wonderful to talk to you. And it was great to see Dana's face.
I know. It's awesome. We have to do more roundtable stuff like that. That'd be a lot of fun. All right, Mayor Rosenberg, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. When we come back, Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio talks to us more about life in a northern town right after this. You're up north. Thank you, Roger, for noting that this was our 300th morning show here, and to Tony for noting that, yes, it appears to be Wausau Day, or at least the Wausau Hour, here on Up North News Radio, as we welcome in Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio. Mr. Holmes, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. First, real quickly, before we get into important stuff, on Sunday afternoon, I was driving, and I was going to an event, and I flip on our radio station, and of course during the late afternoon hours on the weekends we have what are the spotlight
best ofs.
Best ofs. I must say, you guys must have had a really rough week last week if you were sending our segment with me from last week for that, because all of a sudden that segment popped on the radio as I was driving, and I'm glad I stayed on the road, but I thought, man, you guys just—I don't know.
Chad. You think there was something wrong with our segment last week?
Thought that you must have had a lot better stuff than that last week. I tell you, yeah, Dana Locks and Katie Rosenberg today. I mean, it's like—I mean, you do that every day, and it's like that's the best stuff. Come on,
Chad. You look at me right now. Look at me right now. That's how good you are.
I tell you.
There you go. That's exactly it.
I was just shocked, though. That was just amazing stuff.
Look, it has to match up with the segment. So I looked at every 650 and every 750 segment from the past week, and there was no doubt that the conversation with you and the points we were making were as stellar as they're about to be for the next seven minutes here.
I know. I feel the pressure right now.
I know, as well you should. I want to continue on this Wausau mayor's race after our discussion just now with Katie Rosenberg, because it seems to me that whatever blowback she's getting about the cost of addressing all of these water issues and these lead pipe issues just takes me right back to each state budget proposal by Governor Tony Evers, where Republicans say, oh, look how thick it is. It spends so much money. And look at ours is so thin and spends so much less money. And you know what I've said about that. That to me is, yeah, one side wants to do the work. And that's what you see from Katie Rosenberg and the rest of Wausau leadership is doing the work to have clean water in Wausau. And if you're advocating for spending and doing a lot less, that just tells me you don't want to work. You just want to say, oh, I spent less. And that's not leadership.
And also, Mayor Rosenberg, every time she's talked to me, and I know that when she's talked to you as well, she explains that right now we are in a situation where the city can receive some funding, that if we wait, we possibly would lose that funding. And in the end, it would cost more to the taxpayers than taking care of it now, while there is resources, because right now you have an administration in Washington that believes in investing and in trying to fix problems as well. And there's no guarantee that's going to be the case. You know, you knock on wood, hopefully it will after November, but there are no guarantees. And generally, whenever you have a project that you decide to wait and wait and wait, it ultimately ends up costing you a lot more. I have no idea in terms of why you would want to wait when you do have resources. And though we've seen this in different areas of the state and where, for whatever reason, you go back again more than a decade when then Governor Walker would say, no, we're not going to take the funding in order to build high-speed rail or something like that. It just blows the mind on why you have an issue that could be helped in some way, and you don't take advantage at the time that you have maybe some funding coming in.
And then speaking of funding, can you explain to me as well, another issue in the race that I'm reading about over there is that you have the other candidate, Doug Denny, is it?
Yes, it is.
Who is criticizing the high cost for clean water, but whose website also advocates to put more into roads and more into parks. So I guess I'm assuming you've talked to him about whether we're just shifting money away from water or how that squares with somebody who talks about spending or taxing less.
Well, that's actually the point. I think that Alderperson Denny is making, when he's talked to me, is that using the idea again of trying to be as balanced in terms of lowering debt and a lot of the, I would call them, boilerplate issues that you see from those who are either center right or right. And I actually that's, you know, that's actually a good point. I have not did not talk specifically about the parks and the road issue with the alderperson. I find that interesting because, again, a lot of it is about debt. And that's one of the main issues that he has been running on, that the debt has to be lowered. And that he said to me, and I want to be, you know, in terms of the water issue, it's not as though he believes in dirty water. He just says that he would spread it out. And again, I think the mayor has explained why that is not the best way to do it.
Right. Okay. Well, and again, I think that any voter who listens to, you know, both of the candidates or both sides of a particular issue can still come up with, you know, a good rationalization for their vote on April 2nd. But one other note that comes up in the race, and this is more an excuse to set me off on another one of my rants, and that is this promise of making the budget process more transparent. Seems to me to hear Mayor Rosenberg's response to that is that there are already a lot of opportunities for people to have public input. I know. I've covered those meetings. I've been the elected official at these meetings, and people don't show up to budget meetings. They show up after a budget's been passed. They show up after a controversial decision's been made, but they can't say that they weren't asked for their opinion on the front end of it. So this is my rant, is just to everybody out there who should be more engaged. Don't have to say you have to go to every city council meeting, But if you're being caught off guard by something after, say, weeks or months of debate, that's not necessarily all the fault of the people, you know, in elected office.
No, and we also have a system where we elect people who get the most information. And there is talk from some candidates, I think, every cycle about more direct democracy in terms of bringing more issues straight to the voters. And anytime, and I'm sure you have the case, whenever I bring in somebody that from the county board or from the city council, they got so much information. And also, it is as easy as it's ever been to try to keep up to speed with what's happening. As you can go to the YouTube channel, the city puts out these meetings. You can be making your dinner and watching last night's meeting on the YouTube channel as well. So there are ways nowadays that you're able to actually stay as close and up to date on what's happening as any time in our history.
Or an even better option, the Chad Holmes program, weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Bull Falls Radio. Chad, thank you so much.
You too, Pat. Have a good day.
Have an awesome day. Greg, thank you. As always, we'll see you tomorrow morning. A reminder that Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great Tuesday. See you tomorrow.